2. We are rolling with you until 2. And would love to hear from you today. How you feeling, Nuggets Nation? Huge win last night. We're going to have the conversation about what went down at Ball. What do you think of the Lakers series? What do you make of what's next for Minnesota in round number 2? Tell us at 303-713-1043. That is the RamosLaw.com text line. Stoke, a couple of things. We went back through the game, and it was, you know, first quarter, the Nuggets had a lead. Lakers make their run in the second. There was that weird MPJ and AD collision. We haven't talked about that yet, that you would have thought that Anthony Davis was going to have surgery and be in rehabilitation for his surgery for a good 2 years while he was rolling around in pain. Like, I've got shoulder checked in King Supers harder than Michael Porter Jr. shoulder checked Anthony Davis, but it really caused an issue for AD.
Yeah, he just crumbled in a big way. Like, oh my gosh, like, and that's the narrative on AD, right? A little bit soft.
Yeah.
And it's didn't look that bad, but, you know, sometimes the worst ones don't look bad and look like a stinger type of something locked up on him.
I mean, everybody knows Michael Porter Jr. is rock solid and made out of steel.
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, you look at him and you think of our new running back.
Oh, yeah, Estime.
Right? it's crazy. It's crazy. But there it happened, and that was, you know, that was huge for the Nuggets, actually, because it messed up his rotation as far as when he's in and out of the game, and he stayed out there for a little bit, then he was on the bench. And when he went to the bench, who did they bring in for him? Was it Christian Wood? Did Wood play last night?
Wood did play. Jackson Hayes was a guy that they were using in that spot,
Hayes
too.
Was the guy. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you know.
Wood didn't play.
But it was varsity versus, you know, eighth graders at that point. When Jokic got the ball and he had a couple right in a row, he's like, give me the ball. And it was like, whatever he wanted to do, poor old Jackson Hayes there had no chance to stop him. So the Nuggets got some quick baskets that way. And and AD, it took him a little while to kind of get going again. So that was an added little boost there for the Nuggets. But certainly, you know, when it did happen, it looked like, oh my gosh, like it must have dislocated his shoulder. Mm-hmm. What happened? He just crumbled. Like, he got punched in the face. It was a little bit dramatic for me. Like you said, like, even if you get a stinger, you don't need to, like, flop on the ground, start rolling, like,
right.
Like your shoulder's dislocated, pal. Yeah. You're okay. Mm-hmm. You're okay. That's kind of what he does, though.
Yeah, Garrett Bowles thought that was soft.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just not the look you want if you're Anthony Davis.
Ah, shot at Garrett Bowles.
I mean, we were doing it yesterday.
Yeah, I know. It just felt good. You're talking when Bowles, he got carted off and blowing kisses.
And then Phil told us he's running sprints the next day at practice.
And he's beating him.
Yeah.
All righty.
You know, we talked about AG being a big unsung hero for the Nuggets throughout the series. A moment last night, and I think you mentioned this earlier about Nikola's defense. He's not an all-world defender. That's not what he's going to do. That's not what you need him to be. But how about the fact Darvin Ham uses his challenge, wins it, but does, you know, gets rid of his timeout. So the Lakers don't have the timeout after Jamal makes that big shot. Inbound goes to LeBron right away. You know who picked him up about three-quarter court?
Oh, I know.
Nikola Jokic.
I know.
Held his ground, put his hand straight up in the air to not create contact and not get the referees blowing those dang whistles like they like to do with the Lakers, forces LeBron to make a pass. Who was it, Torian Prince that took the last shot, I think?
Yeah.
From half court and had no chance. But how about the big fella playing a little defense there when it mattered most?
Well, I think what was bigger than that about that play is if you watch it, it seemed like, you know, once Jamal makes a shot, what usually happens in the NBA?
Timeout.
Right. Timeout. And they're going to advance the ball. And everyone was kind of like Cadillacing, just chilling, just moseying on back, except for Jokic. Mm. Except for Jokic. He had his eyes on the inbounder. He saw where the ball was going, and he went right away, right, to cut off LeBron and did a great job of just getting in front of him, making him get rid of the basketball. And then, you know, the rest is history, obviously. But if you kind of watch the whole sequence, it was like three or four guys just chilling, like thinking that there might be a timeout or just kind of like, oh, we got this game won. Not Jokic. He's in game mode,
yeah.
And he is seeing where the ball is going, and who knows what it looks like and where LeBron would have got that shot off at if Jokic didn't go right away and cut him off. But just a heads-up play. The guy's always in the game. Basketball IQ through the roof, but that's a great point there. And because, you know, it just kind of goes unnoticed. But, man, what a big play by him, just realizing the situation. Situational basketball yeah. right there at its finest from Nikola there late in that game.
He was absolutely outstanding. And, again, like I said, we're going to have a ton of conversation tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, about game one against Minnesota. But I don't think it's a secret, and I don't think I'm breaking any news here. The Nuggets played, I mean, I might call that like C-plus basketball by the Denver Nuggets in round one.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough. We know that for sure. Certainly not good enough to beat Minnesota. Dang sure not good enough to repeat as NBA champions. But that's something we were talking about a little bit off air. Denver did a little bit of this last year. They didn't play A-plus basketball in round one against Minnesota. Still had a gentleman sweep 4-1. Then really started to turn it on and find themselves as far as playoff performers in round two against Phoenix. And they got better every round, right? 4-1 against Minnesota, 4-2 against Phoenix. And we know they swept the Lakers with a mismatch that was. And then what, 4-1 against Miami, I think, is what the final tally was there. So I'm just hoping, that's never a strategy, but I'm using recent history from a year ago to tell myself, all right, yeah, that was C-plus basketball, but that's going to get better round by round by round. You're not there.
No, I'm not, Josh. I'm not, because you're living in the past.
Okay.
And that was last year, and that ain't this year. You know, and I like your thought process there, though. I'm not mad at you for it. I'm just trying to say, hey, this is different this year. Right? You know, it's just a different setup, right? You look at the Lakers last year. You look at the Nuggets last year. Oh, yeah, we played them last year. This year was so much more difficult than that series last year. So things have changed. Not the same team. Obviously a little bit different, and the Minnesota is different. So I just think that I like your thought process there, though. But like, you just got to put that to rest and just – because this year is this year.
All right.
And it's totally different.
I mean, obviously in a different team with what the Nuggets are in that bench being a bigger problem this year than it was a year ago. We're going to revisit.
Much bigger problem. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest issues that we need to get into because it's not getting any better.
No, it is not. We will certainly get back to that conversation with the Nuggets. I want to go talk a little bit more about Bo Nix and his new top target who they got this weekend. What do we expect from the duo of Nix and Franklin? What did Sean Payton say about drafting players from the same team? That is coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Talk a little bit about the Broncos and their draft picks with Bo Nix, Troy Franklin. We like the Troy Franklin pick. We like wide receivers that get selected in the fourth round to come make huge impacts, and the fact that they are teammates, Stoke. I think that's going to go a long way. The Broncos drafted Troy Franklin. They did use that fourth round pick, moved up in the fourth round, in fact, to get him. We hadn't talked about that part either, about Troy Franklin. George Payton let us know that he woke up to a text from Sean Payton that Saturday morning and said, "Let's go get this guy." He was fired up.
Yeah, I like that.
He can't even sleep. He's so fired up about
it. I know. Well, you got his quarterback, and then now, you know, you're going into that that last day, and I'm sure you have a wish list, right, as a coach and as personnel as the personnel department, assistant coaches, they all have the guys they want, and obviously what Sean Payton wants goes to the top of the list. And so that's how you start the day off. Like, you start highlighting a few guys, and you look at the Broncos' needs, you look who's available, and you say, all right, hey, let's go get this guy, right? And they were able to make it happen. So definitely a position of need, mm-hmm. wide receiver, playmakers, anywhere on the offense would be nice, upgrades. And I love it. Now you get to pair him with his college quarterback. They have a relationship already. That's an added bonus, right? A little bit of line, yeah, maybe a lot there. The chemistry and connection that they had. I mean, could you imagine if Jake Delhomme and Brandon Stokely went from UL Lafayette Raging Cajuns to the same pro team. I mean, goodness gracious, you would have never heard of Peyton Manning That's and right. Marvin Harrison. I mean, it's just like it would have been magic. So obviously we couldn't do that. We would have taken the NFL by storm, but hopefully these guys can do it.
And in his last year, in their last year, I guess, together, Troy Franklin and Bo Nix connected for 81 catches, 1,383 yards, and 14 touchdowns in 2023. I was just thinking about this of obviously drafting teammates. That's a fun little story and connection there, as you just mentioned. But it's kind of dumb luck that it's worked out this way. And we talked about the Avs needing puck luck. How about the Broncos needing some dumb luck to work their way for the first time in a long time? But you went and got Alex Forsythe a year ago, who was Bo Nix's center. And then again, just that dumb luck that happened to fall into your lap. Then you get Bo Nix and Troy Franklin the next year. Stoke, it's already one of the, if not the most difficult job in sports to become a successful college quarterback and then translate that to the pro level. Well, how about having the guy that snapped you the ball for a couple of years and then the guy that you threw the ball the most to help you with that transition? Again, it's dumb luck. But it's some good dumb luck that fell the Broncos' way.
Yeah, absolutely. So the easier you can make the transition, the better, right? And, I mean, that's what it's all about. We're all trying to have Bo Nix be successful mm-hmm. and work out, right? And if you can help that along the way, maybe just a little bit, you know, Alex Forsythe, guess what? He's not throwing any passes for Bo Nix,
right?
Troy Franklin, he's not throwing any passes. He's not the one that's got to be accurate with the football, that's got to know where the blitz is coming from, know the route combinations, know the protections, know, and then go out there and be an execute and get hit in the mouth, mm-hmm. right? Those guys aren't doing that. But if they can help the transition just a little bit, help him feel more comfortable, help him, you know, execute a little bit better. Because you know those guys, yeah, all right. That's an added bonus there, certainly, to have a couple of his former college guys there and obviously, you know, a wide receiver there and having that chemistry and that connection from the last couple of years. I think that's a great thing to have.
What do we expect out of a guy like Troy Franklin and Robin? I was thinking about this last night in year one. Is now, a ton can change if a receiver's move like Cortland Sutton, then obviously roles change. But with Mims wanting to take the next step, and obviously them wanting Mims to take the next step, the addition of Cortland Sutton, the subtraction of Jerry Jeudy, Stoke, is it fair, unfair to look at Troy Franklin to kind of be the Marvin Mims role, maybe minus some of the special teams responsibilities of, like, we wanted more of Marvin Mims. And then you hear, well, he's struggling with some route concepts early. He's got to figure a couple things out before we can fully trust him. And that's probably natural for a rookie to take some time to figure some stuff out. But am I trying to simplify it too much by saying, all right, Troy Franklin now kind of plays the role that Marvin Mims played a year ago?
Yeah, I don't know about that. You know, I want more.
Okay.
I wanted more from Marvin.
Sure.
I wanted to get him more opportunities last year. You got to look at the room. The room last year, obviously, Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. So there was, you know, it was a little bit more difficult to crack the lineup last year. It's a hard thing to do for young wide receivers. We see it happen. But any young football players to have an impact their rookie years, it's a difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. So what does it look like? I wanted more from Mims, like I said. And what does it look like for Troy this year? You know, I think he starts as the number three guy, right?
Sutton, Reynolds,
maybe number four guy to start the season,
yeah.
Right? And if Mims is doing well, that's probably the way that it stays. If not, then all right, Troy, let's go, mm-hmm. right? You give him more opportunities. So I think that's the kind of way I view this thing early on is I forgot about Josh Reynolds. That's why I said number three guy, but number four guy. And like you mentioned earlier, Cortland Sutton, right? What is it going to look like for him moving forward?
Right.
Do the Broncos show more interest in moving him now that you were able to get Troy Franklin and Devon Vele? Do they wait a little bit in the offseason to get their eyes on these two young guys and say, okay, hey, we really like these guys. We want to give them opportunities this year.
Mm-hmm.
Get them that experience in year one. Let's move Cortland. Right, because we like what we're seeing here early on in these mini camps and off-season stuff. It might be in training camp that they wait and see. So you could see it now. All of a sudden, we didn't want to trade Cortland, but But now we do because we really like our two young wide receivers and we want to give them opportunities. And now that obviously opens up more playing time in a spot there.
Well, Sean Payton, we told you the text he sent to George Payton said, let's go get our guy. Was he influenced by another text that was sent to him?
And then, like at 11:30, I get a text out of the blue from Des Bryant. I saw it, I'm brushing my teeth. I hear the phone buzz, and I look over, and it's like, Coach, you really? I'm like, oh, okay, you're preaching to the choir. All right. Then I'm thinking, the irony of that text at that time, and I said, listen, I agree with you. I think I said I like him at the line of scrimmage, and then I didn't see the. We go back, and he was texting me about Jordan Love years ago, and this was right at the end of the season. We didn't start watching film yet, so I'm glad we didn't just keep going back further.
That's a happy-go-lucky Sean Payton. I don't know if I've ever heard that version of him, but apparently Des Bryant does some pretty solid scouting,
right?
Like Jordan Love,
yeah.
And says go
look
get
at
Troy
Des.
Franklin.
How about Des? Hopefully he's 2-for-2 here.
Yeah.
Right? He's 1-for-1 with Jordan Love, obviously. That's worked out pretty good for Green Bay, and now hopefully he ends up being 2-for-2. So I love the pick, man. I just look at the situation now, and I'm like, all right, well, hey, like I said, I'll take a look at those two guys because let's not forget the seventh rounder. I talked about him yesterday.
Yeah, you like him.
Yeah. Well, I don't like him, but former NFL player, mm-hmm. loves him. Absolutely loves him. Sent me and another local guy here a text
nice.
About him. Two texts about, you know, how he views that guy moving forward, his work ethic, and what type of receiver he thinks he is. I was like,
that.
Wow, okay. So that was like glowing reviews there. And then, you look at Troy Franklin, and you look at this guy, Tim Patrick's coming back, not sure what he's going to look like. It's almost like, all right, let's just turn the page on the Courtland Sutton era here. Let's just get it started. Let's just go. Move on. He doesn't want to be here. He's unhappy. All right, let's move him. And let's get these young guys some playing experience and get them in the lineup. I wanted Marvin Mims to play more last year, right? They should have moved Judy,
mm-hmm.
and then you could have had more opportunities to get him more experience. So now we're in year two. We would say, that dude's a dog.
Yeah.
You know, he's the dude. Or, no, he's not the dude. We really don't know about Marvin Mims. So we could have known more about him. And I think we just turn the page and get this thing started a lot quicker this year by just, all right, Courtland, you don't want to be here? Perfect. Thank you. You know, we appreciate you. Really good player. But now we want to look at some young guys.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, and I could certainly get behind that play if that were the decision or the route that the Broncos chose to take. All right, I actually still have a couple things I want to get to about Sean Payton talking about drafting teammates because he took a couple of pairs of teammates in this draft, so we're going to do that coming up. Also, what's back is the fan flyaway, this time for the road game in the Pro Basketball Championship that'll come up in June. A couple things on the line for you if you are a winner. First of all, you're going to get to bring somebody, so that's a pretty sweet contest. Two tickets to the game, round-trip airfare for you and your guests from Denver to everywhere this game will be played, put you up in a hotel for two nights, and give you $500 to spend while you're out there. Can't win if you don't register, so go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register while you're there. Claim that special offer from Sport Clips. They're going to take care of you as well. And if you previously entered into our February fan flyaway, we've already got you in this fan flyaway. So you don't have to re-register. And if you're new, once you register, you're already in for all future fan flyaway contests. And we got some sweet stuff coming at you in 2024. So go sign up, get registered. Best of luck moving forward. It's all presented by Sport Clips.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
She's trouble, but I tell you right now, y'all don't live cowgirls. Never gonna settle on down, girl. Leave you in a lonely ghost town, girl.
About the draft for the Broncos and the fact that Sean Payton went and got Bo Nix's favorite target from a year ago in Troy Franklin. And that's not the only pair of teammates they selected. Devon Dele, who you like, that wide receiver out of the seventh round, and Jonah Ellis were also teammates coming out of Utah. We're going to hear a little bit from those guys later because Vele has a fun nickname for Jonah Ellis.
Oh, okay.
I want to share with him. I don't know if it translates to Denver. But we'll decide that together later on in the show. When it comes to drafting players from the same team, Sean Payton was asked about that after the draft.
I think as they leave the college game where they were stars and starters in their own right there, I think they begin a new journey and maybe a couple of years, 3 years, you know, down the road, you'll, you know, hopefully be able to see. I know a lot's made of the cohesiveness and all of that. But when they arrive here, you know, they start all over but it was, listen, we were excited, obviously, after picking Bo. We didn't know. I think both of us felt like, you know, the receiver, Frank, we felt like he was going to be taken in the second round. And so then you begin working through these scenarios. And so that'll all take care of itself. But it periodically happens.
I mean, I think it's fun. It's a good story for us to talk about. I'm sure it's, you know, nice to see a familiar face. But like we said earlier about Bo Nix, center and wide receiver, pretty important for the quarterback. And now you're familiar with those guys if Forsythe wins the job. But even Devon Vele and Jonah Ellis. I know one's a third-round pick and the other's a seventh-round pick. But just that familiarity make you, a bit more comfortable. It's less like the first day of school, I guess, if you know a familiar face.
Yeah, absolutely. And so especially if you're drafting the right guys.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's it's not a negative. I think it's only a positive there. So it's not an easy thing to do, to draft teammates, and things have to work out the right way for you, and draft has to fall the right way. And certainly it did a couple times there for the Broncos. So I think that's a little bit just extra lagniappe there where if it works out that way, all right, cool. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to do that. But certainly there with a guy like Troy Franklin and Bo Nix, that's a huge deal. They're both on the offensive side there, and one's a quarterback, one's a receiver. I mean, that's a big bonus there. But and also you heard Sean Payton like, hey, we kind of thought Troy would be a second-round guy, and then there he is in the fourth round. You got to go get a guy like that, especially at a position of need. That's what you saw them do. So I think, all right, that's a positive,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen a lot of that. For the Broncos, I can't recall. I know the Rams had it this year. I think it was their first rounder and their second round. They had the kid Verse,
okay.
The Florida State outside linebacker.
Oh, Jared Verse, yeah.
Yeah, the pass rusher. Yeah. And then they drafted the defensive tackle, also from Florida State. And it was cool because they had the phone call, and you could see the guy that got drafted in the second round, his reaction when he learned it was the Rams and he was going to be playing with his teammate.
Oh, that's cool.
And they were trying to get his teammate there in time to make the call, but he got
really?
Stuck in traffic. Okay. And they got it all on video out there. It's really cool.
That is cool.
Brings you behind the scenes there and just the reaction of those two guys knowing they were going to play together mm-hmm. again. They were very emotional about it, and it was really cool to see.
I kind of always thought that, right? And I'm sure this is a conversation had in war rooms of like you're talking about Jared Verse, what's the other kid's name?
Bryant or?
Braden Fisk.
Okay, wasn't a little bit off there.
You had the B.
Yeah, I had the B.
You were close.
Yeah, close, very close. Bar's low here.
But you know, that's a pretty good program. And Florida State was damn good until their quarterback got hurt and broke his leg at the end of the year. You know, like, hey, we're going to get winners from winning programs so that they come in here with a winning expectation.
Yeah, you saw the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles have been like Georgia 2.0 here.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
The last couple of years. I mean, I think they drafted like five guys from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Not this year, but the previous two drafts, right? And so certainly you want to go to good programs that, usually good programs that win, a lot of guys get drafted from, right? I mean, that's part of it. That's why they're winning. They got a lot of really good, talented football mm-hmm. players that translate to the NFL's game. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it, certainly. And sometimes you end up with teammates, and the Broncos ended up with two pair of teammates, Oregon and Utah, which is a unique thing.
Yeah, and they're both in the Pac-12, or were, right, in the Pac-12.
Oh, that's so right, yeah.
They get to talk a little smack, played each other a couple of times. So
good programs, fun. Obviously, yeah. Both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of them kicked the crap out of the Buffaloes for about the last, 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's sad realization there. Last one about the pair here. I don't know. Stoke, it's early in Bo Nix's career. He's just drafted a day before, but did Sean Payton talk to Bo about Troy?
When Bo was here yesterday at lunchtime, we asked him about a few players, but specifically, you know, hey, what'd you think? And it's pretty common for us to do that. We spend a lot of time, obviously, with Alex. We do that a lot with our players on the roster. You know, as we're going through the draft process, if we're reading someone from Ohio State, we're going to make sure that we visit with our guys that may have overlapped. We had a player, a couple players from Texas. You're trying to, use as much information as you can get.
Yeah. How often is the player in that? Like, you're asked about a college teammate.
Right.
Like, yeah, that guy was a bum. He was late for practice, didn't try hard. You're pretty honest about all that stuff?
Yeah. I think because, you know, you want to help your team out, mm-hmm. right? And look, they're not just asking you. They're asking a bunch of people,
yeah.
you know. They're talking to the trainer. They're talking to their positional coach in college, their head coach in college. They're talking to the equipment guys, like just finding out what kind of guy you are, what kind of football player you are. So you're kind of touching base with a lot of people, and then you go to a former teammate, and usually, like you said, you get like, it's all usually pretty good stuff. But if someone tells you something negative about the guy, that's when you say, okay. Mm. Boom, boom. You know, this is probably not the right guy for us, yeah. right? And so I think that's just part of the whole draft evaluation. If you got somebody that was teammates with that guy, yeah, let's talk with him. Let's just see what he says. We're not putting everything into what Alex Forsythe says about Bo Nix, yeah. right, or Troy Franklin. But you just want to know, hey, what kind of teammate is this? Good guy, bad? You know, like, is he a good guy? Is yeah. he a hard worker? Like, and so that goes a long way. But also, you know, you're doing your other homework to make sure that all checks out. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Of course. Yeah. I guess my thinking behind the question is like, how much value is in that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Of asking the yeah. question. And the response from somebody that may hate or completely love that person that you're asking about.
I think most of the time it's positive stuff, okay. right? But you want to back that positive stuff up by checking with everyone else. It's like, oh, okay, this guy checks out. And but if something negative is said, then that's huge red flags, because that's usually not the case from former teammates.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think that says more than positive things about a former teammate of yours.
All right. Let's take a time out. We have a big one tonight in front of us. It could be another closeout opportunity. The Avs can close tonight in Winnipeg. Do we believe in Georgie heading into this closeout game? And does Miko show up for the first time tonight? Can they win if either of those answers are no? That conversation's coming at you next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we have the Avs and the Jets coming up tonight. 7:30 on ESPN. The Avalanche, they can also be very gentlemanly tonight and get the gentleman sweep against the Jets on the home ice of Winnipeg. Couple questions for you, Avs fans, and love to get your responses on the RamosLaw.com text line at 303-713-1043. How do you feel about Alexander Georgiev? He has been great in the last three games. How do you feel about him in a closeout game? And then the second question there is this a Miko night? Does he finally show up? But Stoke, let's start with Alexander Georgiev. 26 saves in game four. He's actually only given up 5 goals since game one. That's as many goals as Valanciunas himself has scored since that opener as well. He has certainly come back to form. He's calmed down. He doesn't look as lost between the pipes as he had to kind of end the regular season, and then certainly there in game one. More pressure in a closeout situation. I'm sure those Jets fans are going to be up there chanting, Georgie, like they have been, and can kind of get in your head from time to time if you allow it. But how much confidence have you gained back for Alexander Georgiev as they are now in a closeout situation?
I mean, a ton. Like, how could you not? I mean, after the first game there, losing 7-6, giving up 2 goals, 2 goals, 1 goal, 3 wins in a row. Very impressive. So how could you not? And how could you not be very confident if you're Georgie? Like, no, he doesn't have pressure tonight. You want to perform at a high level night in and night out, certainly. But you want to talk about pressure. You know when pressure was? Game two. After you just gave up a touchdown and an extra point.
Yeah.
Right? How do you play in that game? Because if you don't play good in that game, your butt is on the bench and Annan is going to be in the lineup. Mm-hmm. Right? So that was pressure. This isn't pressure tonight. Like, it's playoff pressure. That's every game, okay? But not anything compared to where you were after that disaster of a start to the series in game one. So, look, like I told you, it's game by game with Georgie, right? It's okay, you know, and it's been 3 good ones in a row, so I feel really good. But I'll lose it all like that if he doesn't play well tonight, right? Yeah. And I'll be on edge again and very nervous and, like, all of that stuff, stressed, all of those things that I feel when he's not playing well. So, but right now it's going good. I feel great about Georgie. Keep rolling. Feel great about the O. How about the O? How about the offense there? You're talking about – Oh my, I mean, six goals because we lost the first. Six goals in the first. We backed that up with five. Six goals in the third, backed that up with five. Do you follow the trend?
I do follow the trend.
Let's see where you at. Tell me then.
So tonight we score six goals.
Look at you. Yes. Look at you.
Yes.
Well, there it is. Josh Dover, ladies and gentlemen. Unbelievable, man. I didn't think you were going to get it. I really didn't. I thought you were going to swing and miss and ask Kisner because you knew and your Kisner was going to
I was going to say four, but.
Right. So thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness we didn't have to go to Kisner on that. So, yeah, I mean, that means we're going to get six of them things tonight. I absolutely love it. The offense has been firing on all cylinders. Miko hasn't been scoring. It's like, Miko's not scoring. He's been getting assists left and right, which is a good thing. Val's been that dude, obviously, in a big way. So I love what I'm seeing offensively from this group. And if you can give Georgie a little bit of cushion early on, that's obviously ideal.
I feel like the magic number for Georgie is three. Like, three or less. Give up three or less goals. I keep on thinking about, remember when Jay Shapiro was on the show a couple weeks ago, and we were actually talking some hoops with him, but he's like, Forgiev, he called him. And I keep getting that in my head of like, four seems like the floodgates open. Three and under seems like the Avalanche win 6-3. Is that the magic number? Am I making things up in my own head there?
Oh, I'll take three all day, every day. If you just say, hey, you know, we're not even going to go out there. We're not even going to try to play defense. We're going to just give up three goals every game throughout the rest of the playoffs. Deal or no deal? I'm taking that deal. I'm slamming the butt. Deal.
Yeah.
Deal. Yes, absolutely. We'll outscore those teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've said it all along, Josh. Like, this team is built to outscore you. Right, we're not built for Georgie to go out there and pitch shutouts left and right. We're an offensive firepower juggernaut type of team, and so if it's just three, okay, I think we got to win those games. If you say we're only giving up three night in and night out, now you go to four, like that's probably a little bit too many.
Mm-hmm.
There, I'd like it to be at the three, but that's the way I view this thing moving forward. Is I would take three in a heartbeat. Game in and game out. You?
100%. I'm exactly right there with you because you're right. This is how it's supposed to look. That's what you should be winning games 5-3 with the star power that are on the Colorado Avalanche. And in fact, Stoke, it really hasn't even been all the stars. You know what I mean? It's Val. It's Lecky. It's guys on the third line. It's Zach Parise making some big plays in big moments. So the star power, obviously it's there and they've had the moments, and we'd be foolish to ignore the great goal from Cale Makar in the last game. That's a huge moment from a star player. But this series hasn't been all about stars. It's actually been about everybody else.
I thought it was solid by Cale.
Pretty solid,
solid. I just thought it was solid. You know, just like boom, coast to coast, left, right, boom, 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 left, right, bam.
Juke two dudes out of their skates.
No, that was remarkable, obviously. I mean, we got the dudes that can do things like that are just remarkable. You know, McKinnon just gets it and leaves everybody behind and puts it in the back of the net, certainly. But if you're going to make a magical run and win it all, you got to have the other dudes step up and play big. And that's why we talked a lot about Val. And because he kind of disappeared at the end of the season. And without him, it's like Jamal. And I'm not comparing the two, but like if he's not playing at a high level, guess what? The Avs, no, it's not going to work. But you need some other guys also to be able to, you know, not night in and night out, right? It can be night in every other night for certain guys, right? And that's what you're starting to see right now. And it's been impressive ever since that game one loss where it's like, holy cow, this is going to be another one and done here like it was last year. And then the way that they flipped that thing around, you got to give Bednar a ton of credit here. I mean, just a ton of credit of how they've been able to flip this thing around and get it going back in the right direction. And now with the chance to finish off the series tonight, I think is just really, I mean, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, you mentioned Zach Parise, right? Remember when we were betting on him when he first got over here? It was like, that was your dude.
It was.
Like, we got to bet Zach to score. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then like 0-3 on that. Like,
right.
It was like, all right, are you still doing that?
Nope.
Nope, okay.
But remember, I did call Casey Mittelstadt's first one. Remember?
No, I don't remember. But I'll give you credit for it. Yeah, like every new person that came here, it was like, we're going to bet on this guy.
Why do you always remember my bad ones?
Hey, well, that's the way life goes for me. I always remember my bad plays, too. So it's not just anything against
okay.
you.
Okay, perfect.
And but, yes, it's. I remember I said we're never going to mention Zach Parise's
that's
name
right.
again.
We weren't even going to say his name.
Right, but he has since got back in our good graces. So, yeah, let's go finish this thing off. Got a little bit extra rest. I don't know, like, how important that is for our hockey brethren. But a couple extra days off here.
Yeah.
Finish. Don't give Winnipeg life
no,
here, right?
No.
Obviously, you know, their goalie, all-world goalie, he has been struggling. Let's just put him to bed. Let him go to Cancun. Mm-hmm. Where do you go if you live in Canada? Like, where do Canadians
question.
Go? Like, do they go to, like, Spain? Do they go to New Zealand?
Yeah.
What's up there by Canada? Like, do they go to Alaska, visit Slareth, and go like fishing or something
true, yeah.
right now? I don't know where people
watch
in Canada
the Northern Lights.
Go,
is
yeah.
that a thing?
Do they go to the North Pole, Iceland, or
oh,
something?
Yeah.
Is that where they vacation?
Russia's right there.
Russia.
I'm not sure they're going
Russia.
To Russia.
Well,
you
some
can
of
see
them.
It from
so,
their front door.
It's just
yeah.
right next door, right? Yeah. Just like get your binoculars
yeah.
out, and there you go. You'll see them. So. Yeah, let's just send them on vacation wherever
they go.
Canadians go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Connor Hellebuck can accept his Vezina trophy from Russia. I
yeah,
guess if that's
right.
where he's
live
at.
From you know Moscow.
Yeah,
you know. Oh, is that who's that behind? Oh, is that? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
FaceTiming.
The other thing is the Stars and Knights series. It's tied 2-2. That's who the Avs are going to play the winner of that moving forward. Every game has been won by the road team.
Wow.
In this series. So, yeah, you guys go seven. Beat the crap out of one another. And then Vegas wins because the Avalanche would have home ice in round two if it's Vegas they face in round number two.
Okay, I love it. I just kind of,
the whole Mark Stone, like, Vegas chumps.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't even matter for me. Like, who we face moving forward here, it doesn't matter. Like, When I look at the NBA, I just like, whoa, I'm really nervous about Minnesota here in the second round, right? But I look at the Avs, and I don't know, Vegas, Dallas, who else is in the West, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. If we're playing the way that we've been playing the last three games, I don't give a damn who it is. I don't care.
You're right.
I don't care.
Yeah.
So just keep playing the way that you're playing, and, you know, it's we should have a fun next couple months, month and a half.
Yeah, hopefully through June. Hopefully all the way through June right there. All right, lunchtime and the Nuggets. They're gentlemen. The Lakers are going fishing. Jamal completes the gentleman's sweep with another game winner. Let's relive the moment and look ahead a little bit to that tough Minnesota matchup in round two. That's coming up next.